Good morning, everybody. This is Lori Wilson with you on Community Voice. Happy, happy Wednesday. This is the 6th of February, and I'm so happy that we have our guest today, Dr. Jerry Newcomb, who is the author of American Amnesia. By the way, good morning, Jerry.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Thank you. I'm on your website right now. It's jerrynewcomb.com. So that was a good name for your website. And it's subtitled For God and Country.
Yeah, those are the themes I kind of like to highlight in my postings, which are the columns I do and books I've written and television segments I produce for D. James Kennedy Ministries or radio programs I do, etc.
Tell us, before we get into a conversation about your latest column, tell us about American Amnesia, your latest book, which is a compendium of your columns. What are we amnesiacs about?
Well, we've forgotten God. God is the source of our liberties. God is the source of our rights.
I think we had a Skype disconnection.
God given rights, but you have this incredible crusade, frankly, against any kind of expression in the public arena, against Christianity and so forth. So it really is an amazing thing. And so a lot of millions and millions of young children in public schools today, not all, but most of them or many of them, never hear anything about our nation's true roots. I mean, they don't hear about the faith of the founding fathers. Sometimes they'll highlight a few founding fathers that were more of a skeptical bent, but those were the minority, not the majority. I mean, George Washington, for example, I had the privilege to co-write a gigantically thick book about the faith of George Washington. And it was so thick because we wanted to document beyond a reasonable doubt the fact that George Washington was an 18th century Anglican and all that that entailed. He believed that Jesus died for his sins. He trusted in Jesus. He believed that Jesus rose from the dead. He participated in churches where every week they would get up and they would recite the Apostles' Creed, which was written, by the way, on the walls. It was written on the walls, and they would recite the creed, and that includes, of course, that Christ died for our sins and rose again from the dead.
So here we are, having forgotten all that, and I don't know why, but lately I've been on a Lenin, Trotsky, Stalin binge. I'm just reading about those guys and the Russian Revolution and the way they deliberately not only, well, they abolished religion, essentially.
Right.
Killed a lot of clergymen. But you see, when you do that, you end up having to come up with a cult of something else, which is why Lenin's dead body is still on display at the Kremlin, because it's sort of a place for a pilgrimage. But
a secular pilgrimage.
But it's religious in nature, you know? I mean, people have to put their faith in something.
You're absolutely right. In fact, there was a famous atheist who lost his faith, left England, Malcolm Muggeridge is who I'm talking about, and actually became a socialist. He renounced capitalism. He renounced his bourgeois trappings and so forth of his life, even tearing up his marriage license
since that was
part of his bourgeois background. He goes to the great Soviet Union where this is the future. This is it right here. And he goes to visit Lenin's tomb and he sees a woman, a babushka, you know, with a scarf and so forth, a headscarf. And she makes a sign of the cross in the presence of Lenin's tomb. And he was like, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this picture. Yeah. And you're right about the you replace one thing and you end up with something far worse. G.K. Chesterton, also of England, said that if men stop believing in God, they don't just stop believing in anything. They instead fall for everything. I mean, that's a paraphrase, but it's the idea that you lose vision of the one true God, and then you end up with something far, far worse. Now, by the way, in the example of Malcolm Muggeridge, later he became a Christian, and in the last few years of his life, he wrote, books on his pilgrimage and so forth. But going back to Stalin and Lenin and Trotsky, here, these guys were the architects of the Russian Revolution, and they managed to, as you say, they managed to take over. And some people want to say, well, you know, Lenin was a good guy, but Stalin was the one who made it all into terrorism. Oh, no, mm-mm. Lenin, terror from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Lenin was a terrible human being. He, in fact, he's kind of also the archetype of the 20th century totalitarian dictator, of whom Hitler was probably, you know, the most famous and the most evil in the minds of most people. But Lenin was the prototype. And anyway, so once Lenin has his stroke and he dies in 1924, Stalin seizes power, and Trotsky is on the out. So mm-hmm. here's Trotsky, a architect of the whole, you know, let's get rid of God and so forth. And Trotsky loses his own rights. Trotsky, in fact, my wife is from Norway, and we visit that country, you know, whenever we can. Well, there's this little island out in the middle of nowhere that nobody would know about, except people in Norway, where Trotsky lived in there, mm-hmm. in that island for about 2 months until Stalin found out about it. Then he had to move on, and he finally eventually ended up in Mexico, where he was murdered by somebody on behalf of Stalin.
That's so, right. They took him out with an ice axe.
But here's the bottom line is that you lose your rights. I mean, you lose the creator and you lose the rights, because if there's no God to whom we're accountable, then people can do whatever they want to. So Dostoevsky, the great Christian novelist of the 19th century, in his book Brothers Karamazov, mm-hmm. he predicted what would happen in the 20th century. If there is no God, then all things are permissible. And that is the story of the 20th century, including the Soviet Union, including Adolf Hitler, including Pol Pot and Chairman Mao, the worst mass murderer in the history of humanity, including all these atheists in America today that are just trying to, they're like termites in the American system, just eating away at our God-given rights. And eventually you end up with a situation where you lose your rights altogether.
If you really want to have to spend 11 hours of just chilling YouTube listening, I found a three-part YouTube reading of Alexander Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's grim, but it seems to me, and I don't even know, maybe you can tell me why lately I'm sort of gravitating to this stuff, because it's almost maybe something that I'm afraid is going to be replicated here. I don't know.
Well, that's, I mean, it's amazing to hear someone like Bernie Sanders or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or some of these other modern socialists that, you know, are trying to basically turn America into socialism. Recently, Elizabeth Warren said what we need is, for the very, very, very rich, we need asset forfeiture.
Oh, my
gosh. In other words, government to seize property because you're too rich, and we need to spread the wealth around. And you sort of sit back and you think, wow, been there, done that.
Yeah, how many models of absolute disaster has the 20th century already given us?
Yeah, and there's not one example where socialism worked. I once, by the way, a great book on this whole topic is called Heaven on Earth, and it's by Joshua Muravchik, who at one time, as a young man, was president of the Young Socialists and ended up becoming more of a, you know, capitalist, or, you know, believes in free enterprise, mm-hmm. and renounced socialism because he knows it doesn't work. But he wrote a wonderful, wonderful book. I would recommend it to everybody. But let me, if I may, real fast, mention something about Solzhenitsyn, because this ties directly to the whole idea of American amnesia. And Solzhenitsyn said that when he was young, he heard some peasants arguing about the revolution and about, you know, all the terrible things that were happening in Mother Russia because of the communists and so forth. Okay. And he said, one of the peasants said, "We've forgotten God. That's why all these terrible things have happened. We have forgotten God." Solzhenitsyn went on to say, "I've heard, I've read, I read voluminously. I've written myself about the whole Soviet Union, the just all the atrocities. And he said, I never found a statement better than that peasant statement. We have forgotten God. That's why all these things are happening. And unfortunately, it's never, you know, there's nowhere it's predicted in scripture that America will stand forever. It's not foretold that. And it is foretold that a nation that forgets God, you know, shall be cast into hell. So I think we need to, as Americans, to wake up, smell the coffee, realize the incredible gift we've received in this country and get back to God and to really repent of our sins and turn back to him and use the Second Chronicles 7:14 formula to get back on the right track.
Well, on that note, let's take a break. We're talking today to Jerry Newcomb, the author of, American Amnesia. Hey, that was funny because I forgot the name for a moment. I'm the embodiment of American Amnesia. We're going to hear from Tanner Health System and be back in 60 seconds. We're going to talk about your latest, Jerry's latest column called We the Born. So stick around.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama. Because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at tanner.org or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
We're back, everybody. Good morning. Happy Wednesday. This is Lori Wilson with you. We're talking to Jerry Newcomb. Good morning, Jerry. I'm looking at your latest column. It's called It's All About We the Born to Our Shame. Tell us what you wrote.
Yes. Well, I wrote a column in light of the recent law from New York and then the attempted law in Virginia that basically allows for abortion right up to even the very moment of birth. Mm. And if the one in Virginia had passed, it would even go beyond the moment of birth. And what I was basically doing was I talked a lot about our founding fathers and how they often spoke about posterity. Even in the Constitution itself, it talks about how we the people, in order to secure, you know, this greater union and so forth. And then it goes on and say, and to hand to our posterity what it is we enjoy. Mm-hmm. So we have this idea from the founding fathers of posterity, posterity, posterity. Well, you have no posterity if you kill your descendants, you know.
Right.
And, you know, it's just so awful. But basically, the way the radical left is approaching abortion, I mean, they are out rowing Roe v. Wade, so to speak. They are just, it's so radical. I mean, it's on the level of North Korea. People, this, when you see that little video clip of people in Albany, New York, once that law was passed and they're getting up and applauding, it's just awful.
It was horrible.
Sober.
Yeah. And the thing is about, I like your point about posterity because, you know, our kids are what keep us going in a way, you know, I mean, it's what makes us care about the future is maybe a better way of saying it.
Sure.
Because only when you have kids, do you know what it's like to love somebody so much more than yourself? I think that's probably true.
Yeah, absolutely. When you become much less selfish, mm-hmm. because you end up having to care for somebody else. And my daughter and her husband, they've had three wonderful little grandchildren. One of them is still in the, you know, baby. She's 4 or 5 months old. The other one is 3 years old. The other one is 5 years old. it's just been fascinating to watch the whole process, but they're absolutely helpless. But, you know, in some ways, on a spiritual level, we're helpless. I mean, for example, no one can be saved by keeping, you know, good works or whatever like that, because we all fall short of God's standards and law. And this is why, in the fullness of time, God sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect life and then offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins, so that the wrath of God against us for our sins was taken upon Jesus. So when we believe in him and trust in him for salvation, he changes us from the inside out. It's not like we can keep the Ten Commandments. But then once we get saved, then God's moral law is a guide for our living. And therefore, we should not lie and not steal and not make anything else to be a god but the Lord God. And unfortunately, there's a lot of false gods out there. In fact, I've heard communism described as the god who's failed. Mm. And it's failed every single time, and it's failed spectacularly. And they think somehow, oh, well, we'll do it again, and it's going to work this time. You know, but what are they trying to do, turn America into Venezuela?
I know. I mean, it's just so crazy. Maybe you can help us understand. Now, I'm looking at Roe v. Wade, 1973 abortion ruling from the Supreme Court, explicitly stated that it was only legalizing abortion for the first trimester. Okay. You know,
they opened the door, and the same single day, January 22nd, 1973, they had another decision, Doe v. Bolton. And in that decision, they talk about later trimester abortions if a doctor approves. Well, you can get doctors to approve this or that or the other. And so basically, with that exception, they were able to get it so that we have essentially abortion on demand.
So we were...
And they were wrong, by the way, in the first decision, Roe, and they were wrong in Doe. And 60 million abortions later, it's incredible tragedy.
So there I was last night watching the State of the Union, and saw all those beautiful women on the Democrat side, you know, dressed in white, and they all looked really lovely and nice. And it struck me that they are so invested in this late term abortion trend, I suppose. I don't know if that's a trend. Why is that such an article of faith with those guys?
Coulter calls it a sacrament. Mm. It's a sacrament that is abortion is. You know, that's a good point. The Bible says, actually, it's God's wisdom, but God's wisdom is in effect an attribute of God. So it's as if God himself is saying this. He says, all those that hate me love death. And there is a sense in which there is a culture of life versus a culture of death. And I think clearly they've chosen a culture of death. When you see even situations where a premature baby is born and then brought to Miami Children's Hospital or something like that, and this baby is so small, and yet within months the baby's able to really start to build up a life. And I heard about somebody just like that the other day, where they said that the baby was so premature, the baby's life was at risk, and da 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 da. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to today, the baby or the kid grew up, and it's a young man. He's 6 feet 1 inch, and he's in the Coast Guard. He's all muscles and stuff. It's like, oh, you know, and intelligent. And so life is a gift, and it's not ours to take. And I think future generations will look back and speak about this generation and say, wow, you guys were so selfish.
Gosh, I hope they do. I hope that's what future generations think.
I think so. I mean, I think it'll be like when we look back at the slave owners and we say, wow, how could you justify that? Mm-hmm. You owned another human being. It's just, that's reprehensible. It's horrible. It's hard to understand. But they had cultural blinders. Now, I once asked Dr. Peter Lilbeck about George Washington and the fact that he owned slaves. And he said, you know, George Washington was He was reared in a culture where there were four generations of slave owners there in Virginia. And, you know, he inherited slaves, a lot of them, by getting married. And then when he died, he freed his slaves and tried to set a precedent that he wanted others to set as well. And he made provisions for those slaves. And that's a much better model to free the slaves, to become pro-life versus pro-abortion rights. There's a movie that's going to come out real soon.
Okay, and then we have to go to a break, but I want to hear about the movie. Let's hear it.
Okay, Unplanned. It's the story of Abby Johnson. She was a managed clinic manager for Planned Parenthood in mid-Texas, and she had to assist with one of the abortions in her own clinic, but the doctor, the visiting doctor, used a sonogram.
Oh.
When Abby Johnson saw the sonogram of an abortion and saw that this poor little kid inside the mother's womb did not have a fighting chance, she walked out of the clinic, her own clinic where she worked. She walked across the street to where the people were that protest, you know, the do sidewalk counseling to try and prevent women from going in there to have abortions. And she said, I can't go back in there. I'm not going to do any more abortions or sell any more abortions. Not that she did them, but she sold them. And she presided over that culture of death in that little clinic. Bottom line is she became pro-life, and now she helps personnel to come out of the abortion business and, you know, find a real job and not one that's involved in killing other people.
Yeah, well, maybe those tapes of Ralph Northam telling just very blithely saying what would happen to a baby at a pre-birth abortion, or, you know, she's the baby's coming out and the mom gets to decide whether or not the baby lives. I know there are some special circumstances involved, but that was just chilling stuff. So the movie...
That's been late, fourth trimester abortion.
Oh, well, okay. And on that very grim note, we're going to take another break and hear from Tanner Health System. And when we get back, I'd like to get your take on the State of the Union address last night, Jerry. And so we'll be back in 60 seconds. Stick around.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at Tanner.org. Or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
Going to jump right back into our final segment. Good morning, everybody. Lori Wilson with you on Community Voice on this Wednesday, February 7th, or February 6th. We're talking to Jerry Newcomb, who is the author of American Amnesia. He's also got his own website, jerrynewcomb.com. That's Newcomb with an E at the end. For God and Country. Jerry, we were talking over the break about the State of the Union. What are your thoughts about President Trump's address?
I thought it was great. I thought it was really wonderful. In fact, I was sitting there thinking, this guy has exceeded my expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see him at first in the primary. And I remember there was a statement that Alan West, my former congressman, the conservative African-American, now is in Texas. But he said, you know, Trump wasn't my first choice, but at this point, as in Hillary versus Trump, Trump is my only choice.
Yeah.
And but Trump honestly has exceeded expectations in terms of the economy, but also even for him to address the issue of life. The fact that he did that, the fact that he brought up what happened in New York, what happened in Virginia, what they were trying to do in
Virginia, to basically give abortion on demand, not only through the birth, but even beyond the birth, which is, there's a word for that. Infanticide.
Murder, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway,
it's not the woman's body anymore. That's the thing. It's a woman's right to choose to make decisions about her own body. Okay, I get that. But
And Trump attempts to try and keep us safe through sealing the border. I know someone that lived real close to us that died from the opioid crisis just a year and a half ago. There's so many different problems that we're facing in this country. But, it was such a great point when he said that those who oppose America having a border or border security, you know, whether it's a fence here or a wall there, whatever. But those who oppose that, they're all in a situation where they have, they live behind border security and they're maybe even armed guards or whatever. In other words, they have their own security. So it's very hypocritical. It's almost a real cruel thing to do, I think, to the people, the regular folks who just can't afford what they have. And it's, anybody who locks their door at night but then says, I'm for open security. Mm-hmm. I just don't see how it works, especially in light of the fact that there have been some jihadists that have been caught trying to get into the country, and they're up to no good, try and kill people.
Mm-hmm. They're gang members, sexual traffickers. Boy, the Democrats, the Democrats couldn't even get behind being against human trafficking. That killed me last night.
Yeah, that's true. It was interesting, though, that they applauded when he mentioned that there's more women now in the workforce than there ever have been in the history, of the country. And he said, obviously there have been a lot of women elected even to Congress. And I think even though they were kind of probably determined to never applaud anything Trump said last night, they had to applaud that one and stand even. So
I think I really was dreading having to look at Nancy Pelosi the whole time, but she ended up being one of the highlights of I think, the whole thing.
Well, it's funny. My column last week was Thou Shalt Not Smirk. And that was in reference to the misinterpretation of that Covington kid and the way they crucified him and so forth. And I'm glad, by the way the legal department, the way the attorneys that the family have hired, are really going to go after people in the media to stop being so irresponsible and falsely report something and then ruin somebody's lives because of the untruths that you tell, because it fits the narrative you want to tell. And so anyway, bottom line is that I thought that Nancy Pelosi kind of was smirking.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes. She was looking through her papers. She was probably doing a crossword. One time she forgot to sit down.
Yeah, that was funny. I thought that was funny because it's like you're standing because you had applauded just a moment ago. You forgot, I saw her that she was shuffling. I wonder what that was about.
I don't know. We have about a minute left, Jerry. Leave us with a thought for the day.
Well, I think that when you look at the history of America, you realize that there were so many people who sacrificed so much during the settling and then the founding era to give us the freedom that we enjoy. It is up to us, we the people, to not blow it and let this wonderful gift that we've received to just kind of sift through our fingers as we're just concerned, as Francis Schaeffer put it, with prosperity and personal peace, that we let the next generation or even this generation just go to hell and let America go to Hades in a handbasket. So I think
that's a great point, Jerry. I'm sorry to cut you off. I wanted to give you one more plug for your book before we go, American Amnesia by Jerry Newcomb, jerrynewcomb.com for God and Country. Thank you so much for being with us, Jerry. Will you come back sometime and talk to us?
Absolutely. Jerry,
All right. Well, thank you so much. And everyone go out and have a wonderful day. And God save America.
National headlines, Georgia State news and sports, and the local stories you care about. News Talk 1330 WLBB, Carrollton.